Good afternoon, everyone. You made it to the last day of MEC. Congratulations. My name's Mitch Hall. I'm a senior program manager with the Microsoft Office 365 group. I actually work in an office out of Long Island, New York, and I'm here with Julie.
Hi, I'm Julie Hsu. I'm a principal group program manager, and my product focus in Office 365 is purely tenant admin. So all of the people attending the MEC conferences are certainly the customer in my heart.
So this is the agenda that we're going to go over today. First, we're going to do an overview of Office 365 reports, why we do reports, what particular reports we have. We'll dive into some of the individual reports we have, the mailbox reports, some reports around mail flow, as well as our protection reports. Being that we are Office 365, not exclusively to Exchange, we also have some non-mailbox reports that we'll talk about very briefly. We'll talk about how the whole reporting infrastructure works. And then we'll do a bunch of demos on how to retrieve your data. And we'll talk about what's new and then some of what's coming in the future.
In the past 3 days, you've heard a lot of saying about Microsoft is deeply committed to the cloud, our cloud-first strategy. And we ask you to place your user experiences into our services hand. And in return, you demand the transparency of the service quality. Are your users provisioned timely and correctly? Are your users enjoying better productivity and engaged with their social interaction? We also ask you to trust your business data in our data center and on our servers. In return, you ask that you still have rights, you still have control of that data. So you need access to the data when you need to. You want to make sure your data is protected, and you want to make sure your data is used in a proper manner. For your users, they may know that the service is provided in the cloud, but they will still call you when they have a problem. So for that, you want Microsoft to provide you the right set of data and insights so that you can take timely action with that data and insight. All it comes down to, reporting becomes a lot more important in the cloud than on enterprise. And we have a job to do here to ship you the best and the broadest number of reports that makes your job easier when you're in the cloud. So for today, we're going to show you a set of reports that are already available in the services. We're going to show you how you're going to be able to access those reports from various different ways, from the UI, from Web Services API, from commands, the PowerShells that you're familiar with. At the end of the day, we want to make sure that you're confident you can adopt and manage cloud services, even though they are run by Microsoft. So to start with, we want to give some clarity on the set of reports we currently ship. What data are included, and what are the business logic that are included on those reports? To start with, for Exchange, the really basic are the set of mail activities that you want to understand what your users is going through. So one of the most popular report based on our optics is the inactive, AKA stale mailbox report. So the opposite side of inactive is active. And the active mailbox definition is for users who have logged on to the services in the past 30 days. And we retrieve the mailbox information from the store. There are also users that are provisioned in the past 30 days that for the, who may not have logged on to the mailbox even once. And for that, because they have not logged on, the mailboxes are actually not provisioned. So we will grab those user information from the Azure AD and count those users as active, whose mailboxes are still active. So once again, for active mailboxes, it's an addition of users who have logged down for the last 30 days and users who have not logged, who have been provisioned in the last 30 days but may not have logged down. And one feedback we hear loud and clear, since this is the most popular report in the service, is, hey, you told me here are the number of users who are not using the services, but I need to know who they are so I can do something about it. And I can find out if they have left the company or they just have not had a chance to use the service. But I don't have that information in the UI. And that's true. And that's later part of our presentation, you'll see that our emphasis of bringing the a number of detailed reports to the UI. But in the meantime, while you wait for those reports coming live in the next month or so, there are ways to get access to the detailed information. So the stale mailbox detail can be accessed from the Web Services API and from CommandNet today. And Mitch later on will demo on how easy it is to actually to pull those information without a single line of code if you choose not to do CommandNet. And for trending, we ship the mailbox usage report, which gives over the time a view of the active and inactive mailboxes. Beyond that, we also provide this of a number of mailboxes that the admins may need to pay attention of from a quota perspective. So there are two types of quota. One is the set of mailboxes that may be approaching the quota limits. You may think about giving them additional storage. And then the mailboxes that may be underutilized. So for the definition, the mailboxes that are considered approaching the quota or exceeding the quota, well, there are several quota limits you can set in Exchange, lots of flexibility. So we have to make a pick. And we picked based on the most restrictive. So if your total mailbox item is over the warning limit, okay, so let me just be absolutely accurate. So it's the issue warning quota limit, then you will be able, and that mailbox will show up in the count. And then for underutilization, we're using the prohibit send receive quota limit. So if your total work item is mail item size is less than 25% of the prohibit send and receive limit, you will be counted in this report. Next, people always care about what type of protocols my users are connecting to Exchange. And by that, this helps you to plan your protocol usage capacity and also help you to figure out where to target certain things. So this mailbox connections report gives a view of the number of users connected to the various protocols like MAPI, OWASP, EWS, POP3, and IMAP. So one of the things is for many of the reports which are trending based, we gave you this monthly and 60 days, 90 days breakdown. So it's a same report, but you are able to have different variety of the reports based on the historical limit. And then there will be two other set of reports that are basically gave you the provisioning details. How many mailboxes are added and are deleted over a period of time, as well as how many exchange distribution groups that are added and deleted over a period of time. So those are the basic mailbox set of mailbox reports that are available today.
So I'm going to speak a little bit about the mail protection reports. The mail protection reports are basically the mail in transit. So the first report that we have is a high-level report. It's called our sent and received mail report. This gives you a breakdown of the different mail, types of filtering that are going on. So our good mail is the unfiltered mail, and we have spam, malware, transport rules, and DLP policy. So this is a graph that shows you your overall distribution across the different traffic types. Next is our spam report, and within the service we have three different types of spam protection. We have the SMTP block and the IP block, which are done out at the edge. And in those cases, mail doesn't enter our service, so we don't maintain any detailed information on that. We do counts of the blocks, but the mail has not entered the organization. For the content filtering, that happens within the service itself, run through our content engine. In those cases, we maintain the detailed information associated with that. And that'll be important later when I show you some of our drill-through capabilities, actually getting down to the detail records. Next is our malware report. This is pretty simple. We track the malware based on whether it's coming into the organization or leaving the organization. Yes, we do have cases where people are not deliberately, but trying to send malware out due to an infected machine, or even if it's just unknown sending of malware. This is our transport rule report. I'm assuming you're all Exchange admins, so you're familiar with setting up transport rules. When you set up a transport rule, there's the option to set a severity with that. So this is a graph that tracks your transport rule detections by severity. And in this particular report, you have the ability to filter by transport rule, so the graph will change based on the transport rule you select. This is our data loss prevention, and we've had a number of sessions on data loss prevention. I'm going to give a two-second, very, very high level. Data loss prevention is set up as a policy. So you would set up an overall data loss prevention policy, and within the policy, you'd set up a number of rules that work together to apply that policy. So this particular report shows the number of policy matches. So if you're in Outlook and you're running policy tips, one of you users attempts to send something that has DLP in it and it's detected as DLP, your user, depending on your configuration, may have the option to go ahead and override that detection. So they can click override, they may have to enter a reason for the override, and that mail will be sent on its way. We maintain a log of that. So in that particular case, there would be a policy match, but then there'd be also an associated override. If there's a false positive, the user would have the ability to say, no, this isn't a real detection, this is a false positive. So in that case, we would detect it, track the false positive so that you can go back and have someone tune the rule if that was necessary. This report, like I said, is an overall view of the number of policy matches, overrides, and false positives. If there are any questions, just go ahead and raise your hand. We're willing to take questions through the whole presentation. This report is a breakdown of the rules that are associated with DLP policies. So like we had in the transport rule case, every rule, even a DLP rule, has an associated severity. So this is where we're tracking the DLP hits and the associated severities. And again, here you have the ability to filter this report by policy, so you can see for each particular policy what was the breakdown of the high severity and low severity rules. Next, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the non-mail-based reports.
Just really quickly, since one of the philosophy that went into designing of all the reports is Office 365 is a whole package. It's a suite of services. But we want that user experience to be a consolidated experience. And you will see that in some of the architecture diagrams that we're going to present later. But in that case, for those admins who actually also take care of exchange services and link services, you will see that way out of the box, we're shipping a set of reports that give you insights into the OneDrive provisioning, OneDrive for Business provisioning status, as well as your team site usage. And then for Link, the focus is all about how the utilization of the Link services in terms of the number of audio and video sessions that people have used, and also conferencing minutes. In fact, these are the set of reports that are shipped fairly recently, and we're already getting a lot of very positive customer feedbacks talking about how valuable these reports are to them, because then they are able to identify the users and do encouraged and targeted training for those users to use their services. Because, question?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Is there any QoE information in these reports? Quality of experience stuff in these reports?
At this moment, the Link reports are still basic, but that is certainly on the roadmap to add them. I'll take that question and check with the Link PM who actually built this report. Sorry, I didn't look at that myself to see if there's drill down. But in general, the pattern of from summary to detail and ability to drill down is something on our plan to add into the product and make it a very consistent and broad experience. Are these reports exposed to EAC or PowerShell? I'm going to hold that question and make sure Mitch will answer it. Okay.
Is there a lake out there where all the active report commandlets are stored? Is there a TechNet article where all the commandlets for the reports are at?
Okay, I'm going to also hold that question in terms of are there going to be a list of commandlets that that's published available? So.
Okay. So now, how does it work? Okay, as you're well aware, we have multiple services that make up Office 365. We have Exchange, SharePoint, Link. We also have the EOP service, which is a pure mail filtering service. So if you use EOP to filter mail going on-prem, you can still take advantage of the reports for anything that's filtered in the service. EOP is the front end to Exchange. So if you're using the O365 service suite and using hosted mailboxes, your mail is still going through the EOP service. So what we've done is instead of having separate reporting databases spread across the different services, we created an aggregated reporting data mart. So there's a series of data marts that we have, but what the idea is to keep all the data centrally located. So today our reports are still semi-specific to workload, but we are going to be bringing more in the ability to report, you know, users' activity across the different services. That's not something that we have today, but that's the direction that we're going. So we want all of our services to feed into this common reporting data marts so that we can have consolidated sets of reports for our users. All of our reports are fronted by PowerShell. So anything that we show you today goes through PowerShell. Regardless of what you do, eventually it gets to PowerShell. So PowerShell is the first layer on top of the reporting data mart. After that, we have multiple other ways to get to the data. We'll do some demos of our Office 365 reporting console. Those are the screenshots that we showed earlier. We also have an API that you can directly program against. You can either use Excel, has the ability to import data from our API, as well as you can write your own custom application in C# or any other language that can consume an OData feed. And I'll actually walk through an example of that. Any questions?
So just to answer the earlier question, does it go through the Exchange reporting web services? The reporting services, there's only one single set of reporting services. Implementation detail-wise, right now it is serviced out of Exchange Data Center, But in the future, we're going to move it to Azure services. Okay? And it will be workload, it will be workload neutral.
So the first data access method that we're going to talk about is coming through the O365 user interface. As I said, that still drops down to run our API, which does come through PowerShell to the common reporting data mart. So this is what your reporting console would look like when you log into Office 365. This particular console is the EOP console, which is the Exchange Online Protection console. The Exchange console looks very similar. In this particular case, I'm going to show our received mail report. Oh, sorry, clicked on the wrong one. And this is the report that shows the overall traffic within your organization. So it shows your good mail, spam, malware, and transport rules. In this particular case, this tenant doesn't have DLP, so DLP is not showing up on this particular report. You have the ability to go to different date ranges along the bottom. And you also have the ability to view the data that makes up this particular report. So this data here is the actual data that we plotted on the graph. And the other interesting report that I wanted to show was our rule report, which is our transport rule report, which shows transport rules hit by different severity types. And here we also have the ability to sort by the particular transport rule. Oh, yeah. Put back over here. Okay, next what we're going to do is a brief demo of running reports within PowerShell. So if we come back and look at this diagram that we showed before, when someone's coming through PowerShell, they're bypassing the O365 console and the reporting web service is coming directly to PowerShell. So in this case, what you would need to do is set up a new remote PowerShell session. So you open PowerShell, you set up a remote PowerShell session. In here, it has new session, configuration name, the URI. So this is the endpoint for a remote PowerShell session. This is the user that I'm going to use, and using basic authentication.
One of the originally when we designed the whole reporting stack, a question we struggled is how much value to expose a PowerShell head so that people actually can consume the data through PowerShell. So while Mitch is still working on importing the session, may I just raise a hand, a quick poll on how important that is to you for having a PowerShell API? Thank you. The other element of PowerShell is there's no really much difference between regular things. So once you have the PowerShell session open, you can actually have access to all of the management commands as well. So that allows you to build scenarios that integrates reporting data with the management tasks.
So someone asked about how to get a list of the reporting commandlets, and this is how simple it is. We've actually named all the commandlets, the reporting commandlets, to end with report. So this will give you a list of all of the reporting commandlets that we have available.
Okay.
And it's simply by doing the get command and filtering it by report.
And then do you have a special commandlet that shows some of the parameters?
Sure. So this is a commandlet that we put together that retrieves the options that you have for the different data types that we have. Come on.
Demo glitch.
No, it's usually slow the first time it starts up.
What was the connection point for PowerShell? Like, was it Outlook dot? I missed it when you had it up on the screen.
There.
It's off the screen.
Yeah, there.
Sorry. Yeah. It's Outlook.office365.com.
And
PowerShell. Web PowerShell, it's a standard.
If you look up remote PowerShell to Office 365, it will give you that link.
Okay. Thank you.
So I just finished running the commandlet that gave us the options back. So if you were looking for the different actions that we support or the different DLP policies that someone has defined, you could use this commandlet to get them out. So if you're writing a custom application and you wanted to create a drop-down list of the DLP policies that your particular user had, you could use that commandlet to help pre-populate those. It would also give you the list of event types. Event types are things that happen to a mail. So it might get a DLP policy match. It might have a transport rule hit. And it might still have malware after all of that. So each piece of mail could have multiple events happen to it. So if I this is the get mail traffic report. So this is the high-level report that I showed, which is the graph of the different types of traffic that we have throughout the service. To get the details for this, I'd run this commandlet, which the get mail detail transport rule commandlet will get me all of the transport rule hits within that time frame.
So the commandlets for reporting, the commandlets that does support the date range, the start date and end date are standard parameters.
What are time period do you track from? Is it just 90 days? Is that
so for the traffic data, we keep 90 days of the summary data, and then the detailed data is actually broken down into two different categories. We have very live detailed data that we maintain for 7 days, and then we have what we call historical data that we maintain for 90 days. And I'll show demos of both of those and how you get to that data.
And for trending, we are keeping for 3 years. I haven't hit that 3-year mark yet to start rolling.
Okay, so that was our remote PowerShell demo. And now we're going to jump right into a WSAPI demo. So in this case, we have an application that's going to come in. It's going to hit the web service endpoint. That web service endpoint is still going to call into PowerShell and pull data from the reporting data mart. So what we're really trying to show here is regardless of what access method you use, you're always going to get the same data. So you should never have an issue where I go through this way and I get one set of data, but I go the other way and I have another set, because they're all coming from PowerShell. So in this particular demo, I'm going to show how to pull the data in and do a custom report just within a basic Excel spreadsheet.
Again, in terms of the design, we work very conscious in choosing to rely on the industry standard RESTful API and the old data feed so that any standard analytics applications that accepts the old data feed will be able to connect to the endpoints and pull the data.
So in this particular case, I come into Excel, I say I want to get data from another data source, and I come down to old data feed. This is going to ask me for the endpoint. So I have my handy cheat sheet here, which I'm going to take the endpoint. Because if you waited for me to type this in, this demo would take a lot longer than this. And then I would put my username in. I know it works with 2013. I believe it works with earlier versions that have the OData capability. I'd have to check on that. I'm pretty sure that it does, but if you shoot me an email afterwards, I can definitely check on that for you. But there are a lot of different applications that have the ability to import OData feeds. We have PowerView, and there's a number of applications that can do that. This link is in the presentation. The password, however, is not. Okay, so what it's... Oh, I typed in my password. Okay, so what it's doing now is it's going out to the web service endpoint, and what the web service endpoint brings back is all the report definitions that we have. So this doesn't only include the mail reports, but it includes these connection reports, which are the link reports. It includes the mailbox reports that we showed earlier. It shows these mail traffic reports that I'm gonna show you. And then we also have the SharePoint reports available as well. In this particular case, I'm going to look at the mail traffic. And now what it's just doing is saving my connection, so I'll say yes. And now it's asking me, what do I want to do with it? And I want to create a pivot chart. Now what it's doing, it's going back out to the report endpoint that I picked, and it's pulling back all of the fields that I have access to. Okay, so I'm going to create a chart. I'm going to use date, event type, direction, and action. And then I'm going to plot the message count. So you see with just a few clicks, and this is all live data, you could actually come in and filter it. So let's say you only wanted to see the good mail. Or you only wanted to see inbound. So without touching a line of code, you can do all of your own custom reporting by using Excel or a similar application like that. Any questions? So the summary data is generated on a every few hour basis. The detailed data actually has, there's two different paths for our detailed data to get in. We have our message trace data, which is basically fed directly into a reporting database. The metadata associated with that detailed data that would help us link it to something like a DLP report takes a bit longer for us to get together. So I'll show you a demo all the way at the end of our message trace feature. It's not a report, which is why we don't make it part of this presentation. But the message trace data is available within minutes. So if there's a mail that you somewhere got lost, your CEO is looking for the mail, you have the ability to go in and find it right away. As far as reporting on the different metadata related to that, whether it had a DLP hit or a transport rule hit, takes us a bit longer to aggregate that data together.
Like Mitch said, so the transport and especially on the malware and virus protection, it needs to be much more real time. In general, the rest of the reporting data is 24 to 48 hours latency. So it does, from a processing data connection perspective, it is a one-day delay. And after that, it takes time for the aggregation. We try to process that within 8 hours, so that's why it's a 24 to 48-hour delay in terms of all the other type of data.
Okay, now what I'm going to do is show a custom application. So if you have C# or any other language, you can connect out to our OData feed, pull the data in, and create your own custom reporting pretty easily. So I'll just do a quick walkthrough of this. I put this together one afternoon back at the office while I was setting up for this. I have just a chart control, a .NET chart control, and just a button at the bottom that'll help me populate it. So the first thing that I do is I set up the series on the charts. So I'm going to create a spam series, DLP, transport rule, and a good mail series. I have a data contract. So what this is going to allow me to do is take the OData and serialize it into an object, or deserialize it into an object. And this sets up my connection information. So let me just run this quickly. Hit populate. And this is using the same account and the same set of data that we just looked at in the Excel spreadsheet. Okay, so this is setting up our connection. Here's the web service endpoint. Here is the particular report that I'm trying to get at. And this is the criteria that I'm using to select it. So I want to look for good mail, the different spam types that we have, malware, DLP, and transport rules. Here's where I set up my credentials. I set up some basic header information. And then let me just go ahead and run it. This is where I'm getting the HTTP response. So we're actually going out to the web service and pulling the data back.
The metadata information are provided from the same AWS service, so you are able to use that and be able to customize the metadata.
So in this case, what I'm trying to do is set up a contract serializer so that I can take the OData feed, turn it into objects on the .NET side, and then bind them to the chart. So this is the OData that came back. So if I take a look at that, this is the actual data. So you'll see there are sets where I have event type, of good mail, and a message count of 13. So this is actually what I'm going to take now. I'm going to iterate through this data and plot it into my chart. So what I've done here is I've deserialized it into a mail traffic object, and now I'm looking at the event type, and depending on which event type I have, I'm going to add it to that series in the chart. So that was a good mail one. This is a transport rule. You get the idea. So take my breakpoint off. And custom chart. So it's really easy for you guys to, you know, create any type of a custom application to come in and pull this data down. Yes?
So with authentication, are you using OAuth tokens, or are you just using basic?
So we're using basic authentication for this.
Can you
At this point, I think the only thing we support on the API is basic authentication.
I think in the future, we're moving towards the OAuth direction.
So what I've showed you, what we've showed you so far is what we have today. What we're going to talk about now is some of the things we're in the process of releasing. So some of these things are on their way out the door now. We have a service model that we're rapidly updating. Once we check something in, we have a pre-production environment, and then it goes live after that. So we're on a constant updating cycle. So some of these are in the works, and then some of them are planned out within the next quarter. So the first one is the client-side rendering. What you've seen so far is server-side rendering. That's where we calculate things on the server and throw up a picture of the graph. Once we move to client-side rendering, what we're doing is actually giving a control down to the browser on the client side, pulling the data down from the server. And what that allows you to do is dynamic slicing and data manipulation on the client side. That's going to really let you drill into peaks and see trends really pretty easily. We're going to give you access to the detail record. So what we have in O365 so far is static summary graphs. What we're going to have within the next month is the ability to drill through some of our summary charts right into the detailed data that makes them up. We talked that we have two different types of detail data. We have our live detail data, and then we have our historical detail data. So you'll be able to get to detail data up to 90 days old. It just takes a little bit longer than our live data. And then we'll show you a new browser and OS report that we have currently in the works as well.
So we're going to show you some of the upcoming stuff. And a couple of people, once we start shipping reports, the requests just keep coming in. Right? Insight is so important as you hand over your services for Microsoft to run and manage. And the two of the most frequent requests is related to allow you to understand your user and what devices they use to connect to the service. And especially in light of the fact that end-of-life support is coming soon for Windows XP and IE7. So the next demo we're going to show you is the browser and operating system reports that allow you to be able to see how many, what type of browsers that your users use to connect to the services, and how often and when was when was they last accessed the service.
I'm having trouble getting to that report right now.
Okay. So this particular report, like Mitch said, is in the middle of development. So we actually, for this particular report, it's in our dog food environment. So we'll run the pre-production environment, and once it's solid and the bugs have ironed out, we'll ship to production. So this one, the endpoint is... access denied. Proxy. The proxy is good. How about close the browser and try again?
I think it's coming up now.
Okay. Oh, wow. I misspoken. This one is actually on my dev box. So across miles away. So this is the environment. Just now Mitch demoed a lot of his reports in the EOP only environment. This is the regular Office 365 suite environment. That's why you'll be able to see tons of reports from different workload. So one of the tab that we added is the devices tab. And on that devices tab, can you help me?
Yep.
There will be two sets of reports that you'll be able to see. First is the browser that are being used in the environment. In fact, we took a snapshot of Microsoft's environment, not the entire data set, but the data set to show this actually real data, showing that the top-level breakdown of the browser environment by the different browser family. So we show the top four most used browsers in your tenant environment. So, and then everything else is categorized into the other category. And in that, there is the ability to filter. So if you have the dropdown and in particular interested in looking at, say, IE, then you can just select IE, and then the graph will get to the next level of detail of all the IE users in your system. Again, the top four most popular IE, and then the rest is all summed together. And then if you look at the bottom of this report, this is where you will actually see the details of the users that are accessing that your environment, and it's governed by the filter that I had on the top. So it's all IE users with this is ordered by NAS access state, so you can actually see for a particular user how many times have they accessed the system. Question?
This?
Yeah.
Okay. So there is let's first take a look at the download. So if your number of users are less than 2,000, we allow you to download immediately to our CSV file and load it into Excel. So very quickly you'll be able to filter out and find out who are your IE7 users. And for for performance and scale reasons, for the tenants that have greater than 2,000 users, we do basically allow you to pull that information to web services, right, and PowerShell. Yeah. So it's just a couple of extra steps, so it's not so easy. You keep clicking on it and trying to pull 2,000 plus records onto your UI. And on that same UI, if you change your graph to the operating system, so simply by clicking on the operating system, now the graph changes to the operating system report. So same, very, very similar interaction where you'll be able to see your OS breakdown and be able to drill down to, say, your Windows system and find out how many XP users are there and get them quickly upgraded to the latest and greatest 1A software. So that's the new reports that are shipping. And one of the things that Mitch talked about is the greatness of client-side controls and the ability to interact with that. I'll show a version of it, and Mitch will show another version of it with the different reports. So one of the reports we shipped earlier talked about is the mailbox usage report, where it shows your active, can you shrink it down a little bit? Yeah. Number of active mailboxes, as well as your storage that are either exceeded or underutilized. I don't know if you notice, for anybody who's do use the current Office 365 reports, the reports were displayed a lot faster. I don't know if you noticed. It was almost instantaneous. And and now we add the ability for you to be able to interact with it. For example, you may only want to see a particular data point rather than all three data points. So you have the ability to select and deselect the data points. And as you do that, the report display will dynamically re-render the chart to the right appropriate scale. Right? And some other things that will be introduced as we update all the reports to the client-side control is the ability to show related reports. So for example, if I'm looking at the mailbox, one of the report is the mailbox provisioning information, how many mailboxes am I adding and deleting in the past, say, past month. You can certainly check that against, say, your how many groups, distribution groups you are adding and deleting, and do some comparison there. Question? The question is there a plan to know what type of Outlook versions your users are connected? I'll take that feedback and put that on our to-do list. Okay.
How about mobile devices? Types and kinds of mobile devices connected?
Type of kinds of mobile devices. At this moment, in fact, one of the upcoming reports is the device reports. I would encourage you to check out. There is a session that I didn't go, but I was told it was a great session about the new mobile device enhancements, and a set of reports are coming with that. So just check them out. Question?
The inactive mailbox report, does that include shared mailboxes?
Okay. Does the active mailbox report include shared mailboxes? Yes, it does. And it includes resource mailboxes. They're considered perpetual. Okay. Any other questions?
The report on mailboxes that are being used for compliant inactive mailboxes, but they're still there in the background. Are you reporting on that?
The question is, do you have reports of mailboxes in the compliance?
Inactive mailboxes.
Inactive mailboxes.
Litigation hold.
So not through here, but I believe we have some auditing reports that are doing that or are going to be doing that in the future.
Yeah, or maybe it's more in the management UI rather
right.
than in the reporting UI. Okay.
Yeah, I've seen that part of it. I was just curious if that was going to be exposed at all here.
Yeah.
So we're you've probably heard of our UCC, which is our Unified Compliance Console. So some of the reports we will expose in both places. What we're talking about here particularly is our centralized location for all reports. So if we may have some additional reports through the UCC, and we'll have to decide whether we make them available here as well. It depends on what makes sense for which reports. So I know Julie showed some of the advanced capabilities for the bar charts. We also are doing some work on our side for the protection reports. So this is another version of the report that I showed before, but this is a client-side rendering of the report. This is our sent and received mail report. So over here is where you can filter the mail on the client side to get a better view of what trends you're looking for. You also have the ability to specify different time ranges. And again, it resizes depending on the data that we're representing. So in this particular case, I think what you saw is that we have a spike in our transport rules. So if you had seen something like that and you wanted to investigate it, we have a transport rule report, so that's our rule match report. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring it out to 30 days and show you a couple of features that we have. Okay, so it may be a little difficult to see, but we actually have two areas. We have a white background and then we have a gray background. For anything in the white background, that's data we have current data for. So if I click on a data point there, that'll bring up the detail information related to that data point. It's kind of hard to see because of my view. But I have the detail records associated with that data point. So these are the individual mails that made up that transport rule spike. Additionally, if I want to go back and look at this spike back in time, We don't have that data sitting in our active database, but what we do is give you the ability to run a report to get it. So in this particular case, what we'll do is we'll bring up a form that allows you to fill out some additional information related to the request that you're making. And then you could submit this request. So let's say I wanted to go back and look back to the 14th of January, and I could submit this report. Now what that did is it says at the bottom, it lets you know thank you. If you had supplied a notification email address, we would send you a link to the download. Or you could also come in our report request queue. So if I look at my report request queue, what I see is I have a number of requests. So if I there's the rule report that I just submitted. Oh. No, it's this one. It's not started yet. So what we have is a background process that'll come and pick up these requests every 15 minutes. So this report is not started yet, so I still have the ability to cancel it. Once it moves from a not started to a started state, it's kind of off on its way, and we don't have the ability to cancel it. Once the report is complete, you'll receive an email notification with a link to the download, or you can come back into this UI, and for any reports that we have that do have matches, you'll actually be able to download the report directly from here. And brings it right into Excel. So this is this new feature set is that I just demoed here is on its way out. We have a process by which we have a pre-production server and a production server. Right now, this is under flighting, which is our internal testing of the feature. And as soon as we test it out and get all the issues addressed, we'll turn it from flighted to live. So it'll be within the next month or so.
So these are the things that are coming really soon, in the next month to the next quarter. Well, like we said, we have a lot of reports and hearing more reports in demand. So some of the things that are coming probably on the tail end of after this quarter, in the next half a year or so, you will see more the Exchange Active Sync device reports. They're probably sooner than 3 months. But also with the announcement of OneDrive for Business last month, we're going to have a lot more in-depth detailed reports on OneDrive for Business, including activities at the file and folder level, and also storage information on OneDrive. And tons of auditing related reports. You have a lot of sessions in the Mac about e-discovery compliance. We know there's a huge demand, especially for the enterprise, to be able to have that information. So these are the set of things coming soon. Okay. So before we end the session today, we have shown you a lot of the reports that are available today for you to be able to gain access and transparency to the services that your users are enjoying. We also show that through CommandNet and web services, you will be able to access the same set of information as well as additional detailed records that may not be available on the UI. We also show you that this is an area that we're rapidly iterating and trying to bring as many of the reports into the service as possible. If nothing else, I think I'm hoping that you can take away with the belief that Microsoft is indeed truly committed to the cloud. And with that, we want to make sure that the greatest service comes with enterprise data, enterprise-grade data and insight that will enable you to support your company and make the best return on investment from the cloud. So happy ride on the wave, and you will come up at the top.
So I had one other thing that I wanted to demo. It's not a report, but it's our message trace feature. I thought it was important enough to bring up, although it's not exclusively a report. Some of you may already be familiar with this. If you're in the O365 reporting console, you can get over to the Exchange Admin Center through the admin link. So in this particular case, we're talking about a mail flow type report. So this is our message trace capability. So if I had a CEO and he had said he had, was expecting an email to come in, but he was unable to find it, you could come in and use this utility to see what happened to it. So in the particular case that I'm looking at, the CEO has indicated that he was expecting a mail within the past week. And I want to scope it to the particular user involved. So date range is set to a week. I want to see all delivery statuses and to the recipient, Mitch. So if I hit search, this brings up a list of all the mails that were sent to Mitch over the past week. So in this particular case, I could see that this mail has a failed status. If I double click on it, it'll tell me what happened to this mail. So this mail came in and hit a number of transport rules, and the effect of those transport rules were to decline the message. So this is a very useful utility that both our support team and a lot of our Exchange folks use. Yes?
Is there a way to put in the interface so you can export those from there?
So,
So
a new feature that we released recently was, again, I told you we have two types of mail. We have the live mail, and then we have the kind of older mail. So let me take a step back here and do a custom search. And in this case, I want to see everything that was sent to a particular, from a particular domain. Okay, so this is a similar feature. We're actually submitting it to the back end. So if I come back over here and I look at my view pending traces, you'll see that I just submitted that message trace. If I come down to one of my other message traces, you'll see that I have a download available. So you can run it and download it. Yes? So the SLA we have is about 4 hours. Usually it runs within 30 minutes. As I told you before, mail that comes in, we have generally available for searching within message trace in minutes. I think our SLA is probably less than an hour. So if you have an email coming in that you're looking for, in my experience, it's available to be searched within minutes. From a reporting side, if that mail had happened to hit a DLP rule, that information takes us just a little bit longer to get in because we need to do some other aggregations to make that happen. Any other questions on message trace? Yes?
There's not a message trace.
Oh, any other questions in general?
As you make the enhancements to the system, what notification method do you have to tell us this new feature is available? Normally it's in a service pack or SP.
So in Office 365, we're hearing a...
Repeat the question.
Okay, I'll repeat the question. The question is, In the past, in on-premise deployment, the new features come live through CUs and service packs. And users, typically, their documents coming with that. So, and there are some expected rhythm of those getting released. In the service, we're always fresh, and always trying to bring the latest innovation to the customers as soon as possible. So how does customers learn and know about the feature and be able to do change management? And for that, we also hear a lot of feedback in terms of we should do better in the change management and giving the admins a better better heads up. So you'll see more of those coming, but in particular, in the Office 365 portal, there's a session called Message Center, and the Message Center is where information will be delivered to you, and they are scoped to certain tenants, so if the information are not relevant to that tenant, then you don't need to be bombarded with stuff. At the moment, the interface actually have some of the more urgent messages showing up at the moment, like as a bubble when you log into Office 365. In the future, we'll be more discreet, only display information that truly needs you to act. And in that case, in the messaging center, one of the things that Office 365 tenant is getting communicated on is the fact Windows XP are expiring or are going to be out of support. So when we ship the client and the browser and OS report, we're going to integrate that integrate with the messaging center. So not only you get the message that it's going to be end of life, you'll be able to write their access to the report to take a look at who are the users that may need to take immediate action. Okay. So again, more and more we're thinking through the entire experience and making sure we're providing the right support to keep our admins informed and stay ahead of the game and have insight and awareness of what's happening into the services and be able to quickly take actions if it requires the admin to act or think about ways to utilize the service more, right? For example, the link reports is all about getting your users make the best out of the service. Well, the service gets overused. We're spending tremendous amount of energy in making sure that we build a very scalable service and the availability is, on paper, it's 99.95. We track it on a daily basis. Well, actually much better than that. So there's a provided SLA. And you should not worry about, leave that to Microsoft to worry about. That's right. So with commandlets, we wanted to make sure there are things that admin does do intensive activities in an unpredictable way, and we want to make sure that the end user experiences are not severely impacted by those admin activities. In actuality, just on the commandlet throttling side, we also take a deep look at how many admins are actually being throttled and are refining the policies so they are not one size fits all. So hopefully you will see experiences improvements in that space as well. Question in the back?
When it comes to the example about the XP message in the message center, do you only receive that if you have a client running XP connected to your tenant?
At this moment, it's not that intelligent. So the XP notification hits everybody because the message center actually communicating that message. We're trying to bring these reports in as quickly as possible. And in fact, for your information, the biggest hurdle in bringing those reports is the privacy issues because in our where Mitch talked about the data mart and information in the data mart, Microsoft places the highest priority in making sure your tenants' data are protected and secured. So by protected, that data, the information, the privacy information in those data mart and data warehouses are all encrypted and hashed. It is tremendous. It takes tremendous amount of energy to unencrypt them for the particular tenant, because tenant has rights to their own data. So there's no privacy issue if the tenant admin is looking at it. But we, for our support personnel, our engineers who are building those data mats, they have no access to the private information stored in those data store.
So
question?
To be 100% clear on that, you're saying that the information that's in the data mart is unique per tenant, and Microsoft does not have access into OS type, phone, location, logon times. They're not using any of that information?
Sorry, so let me make it clear. There are very specific private information that's considered PII or TII, tenant individual information, something to that effect. So for example, your email address, right, your name, those are private information. But device information are not. So that's why it's very easy for us to be able to provide a summary report on how many users are XP users, but to get to the next level of detail to say who is the user using that XP browser to connect to the service, only tenant admin can get that information through the protocol. The data that's stored in the data mart and data warehouse, that information is secured. So if I, as an engineer, trying to, say, troubleshoot a data upload issue, I will not be able to see your name, your email address. I'll just see some random ID having this having XP connected to the service. Okay. Any other questions? If not, just very quickly on a couple of slides and a reminder. Do please file the survey because that's very important for us to get the feedback and making sure the next session and the next event will be better. The other couple of information, since it's there at the end of the event, so all of these sessions have already passed, but we wanted to give you the information here so that you will know what sessions to download the content and maybe view the recording.
And we also have a number of useful links, so almost everything that I showed is available on TechNet or MSDN through these links. Remote PowerShell, how to write an application using the API, as well as some of the reports.
And thank you very much for your time. We'll be around if you have further questions.